Then he also has us suffer. There's some suffering that we all do. As he is shaping character into our lives, it is not a pleasant thing to go through. There are things that each and every one of us go through in order that he might shape our lives so that he can use us in a dynamic way. Now, not only do we suffer, but he calls us to spirituality so that we can truly have a mindset that is spiritual rather than fleshly. He calls us to a position of spirituality, and then sanctification is that last thing. And as that continues to revolve and to circulate, it is circular in our lives. Each one of us are in a different part of a cycle, and he calls us to be sanctified. And sanctification is a very important thing in our lives. I'd like to have you turn with me this morning to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'll ask you to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 15. He says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace," notice this, "sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, that there's a process that takes place in our lives, that you are ever grooming us, that you are ever shaping our lives so that our hearts are more in tune with yours. And Father, when our hearts are more in tune with yours, we will have lives that are filled with peace, even though things around us are chaotic. And Father, we pray that truly this message might sink deep into each heart that is here. Father, we pray that we might understand sanctification and how you are wanting to sanctify each and every one of us, that we would live a life of purity and a life of peace. And we thank you and praise you, Father, for what you're about to do in our midst. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. God is wanting us to live lives that are different from the people of the world. God wants us to live lives that are pure and righteous. God wants us to have peace when there are things all around us that are chaotic. That's why he gives us the fruit, singular, the fruit of the Spirit. And those virtues cannot be produced by the law. In Galatians chapter 5, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. The law cannot produce those attributes, those virtues in our lives. But what he does is so unique. Because in the midst of turmoil, he can allow us to experience a peace that passes all human understanding. In the midst of chaos and animosity being directed towards you, we can have love flowing from us. When things fall apart, we can have a joy. Even though things aren't turning out as we had planned, we can still be filled full of joy. This morning, I believe we need to understand sanctification. And in order to understand sanctification, we need to see, first of all, the meaning of sanctification, the meaning of sanctification. The meaning starts with being saintly, and when we're saintly, it doesn't mean that we're sinless. We will always have some sin in our lives. Whenever we take our focus off of Christ and we put our focus on ourselves, that's sinful because we are to follow Him. We are not to think about self. We are to think about what He is wanting in our lives, and that's very difficult. Now, it doesn't mean that you're going to be a murderer or a liar or a rapist or anything of that nature, but when we resign ourselves to be saintly, it doesn't mean we're not going to sin. It's impossible for us to not sin because we have that sin nature in us from our birth. We are born in sin. And as little Emma is going to be born, we think it's a girl, by the way. Our eldest son thought they were going to have a girl until Jonathan came out. They had all the girl clothes, they had everything painted pink, everything was girl, and then here comes Jonathan. Surprise! But you know what? When babies are born, they're not born with their hands open. They're born with their hands clenched. Why is that? See, a clenched hand is a form of rebellion. It is so nice and comfortable right here, right now for Emma. She doesn't want to come out into the world. Right now, her world is right here, and she loves it. And through the process of birth, that's traumatic on a baby. And they come out with their hands clenched. They don't like it. They're rebelling. Why? Because of the sin nature that they are born with. See, we do not become sinners when we sin. The reason why that we sin is that we are born sinners. And sinners, guess what? They sin. To be saintly doesn't mean that we're going to be sinless. We're not going to be sinless, but the saint turns from that sin when they recognize it. Now, in order to recognize it, we see where it comes from. We see who is sending it to us. And when we recognize that, we are able to turn from it, recognizing it as sin, repenting of it, and following the Lord in the process that He has in our lives. Secondly, we see that the meaning of sanctification means that we're rejoicing, but we're not rejecting. See, sometimes things don't go as planned. And we can still rejoice. We can rejoice even when things don't go as planned. I'll tell you what, I'm one that I like things all lined up. How many like everything lined up? Yeah, you like everything lined up. You plan your day, and the moment that you get out of bed, your day changes. You get a message or a text or something, and then now you've got to fit that into the schedule. You thought you had it all planned. You thought everything was going to go swell for the day. And now, things are all messed up. That really affects me. I came yesterday to fill the turn the heater on in the baptistry and make sure everything was going well. Kathy left with Danielle, and after I finished watching the movie at home, I thought, well, I'm going to go over my message as I always do. On Saturdays, I go and I go over the message and try to really get the mindset that God wants me to have. And I went into my study and thought, where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? Where did I put my Bible? Did I leave it on the kitchen table and I go back out to the kitchen table? It's not there. Well, did I leave it in my Durango after Thursday? What's the deal here? And so I go out to the Durango. No, I go back in the house. I search again for my Bible. My Bible. What's wrong with me? I lost my Bible. And so I figured, well, I think I left it at church. So I come back. I was planning on coming here twice anyway, but that really frustrated me because it wasn't in the plan. And so I come back to church. Dan's here, and I say, "Hey, Dan, it's me." And I was just going to make sure that the water was warming and everything was going well. And I go in my study, and there's no Bible in there. It's like, okay, what did I do with my Bible? And I walk out, and my Bible's sitting there where Larry's sitting. Somehow, some way, Wednesday night, I think Bobby was parked right there, and I put my Bible down and left it there Wednesday night. Oh, my goodness. So I spent some quiet time. Dan said, "Well, I'm going to leave for a little bit. You know, when you leave, don't worry about setting the alarm." So I spent some quiet time and went over the message here and everything. And he was like, "Lord, why do you do these things to me?" He says, "Because I have a sense of humor. Don't you? You get all upset when things don't go right, and it's going to continue to be like that until you learn otherwise. Rejoice. Rejoice when things don't go right." And when I was going over my message and got to that part, it was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, all right. I see, Lord. I see, Lord." Our shutters had blown off one of the windows at the house. And those little plastic shutters are held on by little plastic, I don't know what you call them. They look like screws. They got little plastic barbs on them. You just push them in, and the barb kind of holds them there. And it was pretty high, and there's a little sunk place in front of that window. And so I go in, and I get the little step stool, and I go to push it in up here, and I push it in down here. And when I push it in down here, it pops loose up there. And so I push it back in up there, and it pops out right down there. It's like, really, God? Come on, I'm not even balanced here very well. And so I push it back in, then I use my knee to hold it. And I reach up and get it, and it pops back out. All right. Get back up there, I put it in there, and I take my hand and I go, whack! Whack! Now stay in. Whack! And I hear this thunk inside the house. I don't know what the thunk was. So I get the shutters up. They're staying in place. I should have used liquid nail, because they're going to blow off again. I know they won't. Oh, God just does that to me. And so this morning, getting dressed, I look in on my walnut plaque where the old percussion cap 45 lays. And this is the type that the cylinder, you know, you pull the pin and the cylinder comes out, and you have to use the little thing to push the ball in. It's black powder, and it doesn't fire. And it's not on the plaque. Yes, it was. But I didn't know about it then. I'm going, "Honey, have you taken my 45 off the plaque?" "No, I haven't." "Did you take it somewhere to show it to somebody?" "No. And if I did, I would have put it back." "Honey, I'm convinced somebody stole my 45. They came in our house and stole our 45. "I don't think so. I'm here all the time, Craig," she says. "Well, it's not where it's supposed to be." So I go back in, and it's in my study, and I go and I look at it like, "How did it fall off of there?" And I look down like that. "Oh, there it is. Honey, I found it." He's constantly teaching me. He's constantly shaving things that don't look like Christ. See, there's not near as much of me as there used to be. Because he's shaping and taking those things that are not needed. He wants us to rejoice rather than reject. Because when things don't go right, when we get our mindset right, the first thing out of our minds ought to be, okay, Lord, that's fine. I praise your holy name. I rejoice in that I'm going to learn something new today. But many times I have to go the long way around in order to learn that. And that's where most of us live. Thirdly, we see he wants us to be peaceful and not prideful. He wants us to be peaceful and allow his peace to overwhelm us. My brother-in-law this week lost his mother in Omaha, Nebraska. They made a fast trip from the Des Moines area where they live, Boone actually, and they made a fast trip to Omaha to be with her, and she lived long enough for the whole family to get together. And then my sister told us yesterday that indeed she had passed away at 10 a.m. yesterday. And I know that he is sorrowful. I know his father is going to miss her tremendously, but God is able to put a peace in our heart because he is the author of peace. He is the one that can fill that void with his presence and power and peace. And God wants us to be peaceful. That means to be filled full of peace. And when we are filled full of peace, nothing can go into that vessel because it's full. It's full. And if anything jars that vessel, then peace splashes out. That's what sanctification is all about. It's living a life that is pure, but it's peaceful. I want you to look at our main text once again. I don't think I have it on the screen. Notice what it says in verse 14. It says, be patient to all men. Patient? Notice the path following in verse 15. Follow that which is good. That's following the path of goodness. Notice he says in verse 17, to pray without ceasing. So we're talking about patience and path following and praying. Notice verse 18 says, giving thanks. It means praising. Giving thanks in all things, for this is the will of Christ concerning you. Notice prophesying in verse 20. And then proving all things. Proving all things. Hold fast to that which is good. And then he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That means it's pleasing. So we have patience and path following and praying and praising and prophesying and proving all things. And those things are pleasing to God. And when they are pleasing to God, He gives us a peace that passes all human understanding. The absence of that patience, the absence of path following, the absence of praising, the absence of praying, the absence of proving all those things, it leads to chaos. That's why God calls us to a position of sanctification, that He might sanctify every bit of our lives. That's why He says that the God of this will sanctify you wholly. Sanctify all of you. Every little bit, every little ounce, every little area of our lives. Well, secondly, we must also see the message of sanctification. The message of sanctification is, first of all, to not quench the Spirit. Look at verse 19, and I do have that on the screen for you. It says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. See, when we quench the Spirit, He is asking us to do something and then we don't do it. He's asking us to help someone and we resist and we decide we're not going to do that. The other day, as I was over by Memorial Hospital, I had taken Frank Scott, and I had to stop in and get some gas there at Casey's. And while I was there, there was a gal that had a cane and a young guy with her. And they said, "Where's Memorial Hospital?" And the guy says, "It's right down the street there. Just keep right on going." And so I kind of watched them a little bit, and I thought they were probably going to go to a car. No, they didn't go to a car. They were walking. She has a cane. And it looked like the son was helping her along. He had something in his hand, a bag in his hand. And so as I backed out of Casey's there and went to go down the road, I saw them walking. And there's a little Metrolink parking place right there west of the Casey store. And I thought, well, maybe there are cars in there. And so I just kind of sat in Casey's. They weren't going to any car. They were heading down the sidewalk, and they were going to cross the little Metrolink bridge there, and they were walking. And God said, "You need to pick them up." So I drive, and I thought, nah. And I get past them, and I pull over, and I back up. And I get out and I go, "Hey, you guys going to Memorial?" And they go, "Yep." I said, "Okay, I'm going to Memorial too. Jump in." So they did, and I took them to Memorial and dropped them off at the main entrance. And God wants us to not quench the Spirit. When we quench the Spirit, we are literally telling Him we don't want to walk the path You've chosen for us. We don't want to do that right now. It's not fitting into my list that I have here today. God, I don't want to do that. I don't have time to do that. And when we do that, we are quenching the Spirit. We are making that still, small voice smaller. And then He speaks to us in a still, small voice again, and we don't do it. And it makes it smaller. And He speaks to us in that still small voice. And we don't do it. And it makes it smaller. And He speaks to you in a still small voice. And we don't do it. And then pretty soon, I need to turn the volume up on my microphone. I said, God wants us to hear Him. But see, when we quench the Spirit, we are literally turning that volume on the still small voice down to a point that now we don't hear Him anymore. God says, quench not the Spirit. Because it is the Spirit of God that speaks to us, that leads us, that corrects us. It's His still small voice that speaks in our lives and says, listen, I love you so much. This is the path that I've chosen for you. And if we quench His Spirit, we cannot walk that path. And when we're not walking that path, He cannot give us the peace that He desires. Quench not the Spirit. Secondly, He says, abstain from every appearance of evil. Look at verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. We need to recognize three things when we're abstaining from all appearance of evil. We need to recognize three things. And you might want to write it down. We need to recognize what it is. We need to recognize what evil is. Evil is a fleshly thought. It is a selfish motive. It is those things that are contrary to Almighty God. That's evil in the sight of God. That's what it is. And when we recognize what it is, it's easier for the saint then to turn from it. When we can recognize it. We also need to recognize where it's at. It doesn't come from outside. It comes from within. See, we are by nature sinful people. And because of that, that sin comes from within. It is the devil that speaks to that old sin nature that gets us to want to turn from the path that God has chosen for us. And then we need to also recognize where it's coming from. There are only two voices. The voice of God and the voice of Satan. And we're going to listen to both of them. That's why there's a struggle in our lives. That's why it seems like when we're walking towards God, Satan will always come and try to stop us. He will always try to hinder our progress with God. That's why we need to recognize it, and that's why it says to abstain from all appearance of evil. Does that mean I can't go into the liquor store and buy ice? That's exactly what it means. Because if going into the liquor store to buy ice causes my brother or sister to stumble, that's sin. They don't know why I'm there. They could see me walk into a liquor store thinking, that's Brother Craig. Wasn't that Brother Craig? You never know who is watching, because everyone is watching us. So that's why he says to quench not the spirit. And then he says, flee the very presence of evil. Abstain from evil. Lastly, it talks about making no deals. How many of you here remember Monty Hall on Let's Make a Deal? Yeah. Monty Hall and the devil have a lot in common. Not that Monty Hall is sinful. But the devil will always try to make a deal with you. He will always try to move you off of God's path. Remember when Moses went up against Pharaoh in Egypt? And he says, let my people go. And they went back and forth and all the plagues. And finally Pharaoh relented. And he said, okay, fine, go. You know what he said? He said, go, but don't go very far. You need to read that. All right? Read the entire story. He says, go, but don't go very far. And Moses said, no, we're going, and we're going to go all the way. We're going all the way to the promised land, to the land flowing with milk and honey that God gave to our ancestors. We're going all the way. He says, well, if you're going to go all the way, let's make a deal. Don't take the children. This trip won't be any good for them. They'll just slow you down. And Moses said, no, we're going to go all the way, and we're going to take all of our children as well. And Moses, and Pharaoh said, well, wait a second, Moses. Let's make a deal here. Go ahead and go and take your children if you want to, but leave your cattle. What are you going to do with all the animals out there in the wilderness? You can't take all your cattle. And Moses said this. He said, no deal, devil. No deal, Pharaoh. We're going to go all the way. We're going to take all of our children. We're going to take all of our cattle. Not one hoof shall remain in Egypt. Read it. Not one hoof shall remain in Egypt. He basically said, we're going to be so gone, it's going to be like we were never here. Some of you need to make the trip for God. Some of you have been listening to the other voice. There's no need to get baptized. Oh, go ahead and make a decision for Christ if you want, but you don't have to be baptized. Why? Why? Why be baptized? Why? You're just going to get wet. People are going to clap, but what does it truly mean? You don't have to be baptized. You need to say, no, no deal, devil. I'm going to get saved and baptized. And then he's going to say, well, go ahead. Get saved and baptized, but don't talk to your children about it. Don't talk to your children about it. Certainly, they have the right to make their own decision. You need to say, no deal, devil. I'm going to get saved, I'm going to get baptized, and all my family's going to get saved and baptized too. Well, okay, but let's make a deal here. You don't need to, you don't really don't need to, be very vocal on the in the workplace. Don't worry about witnessing to other people. You need to say, no deal, devil. I'm going to get saved, I'm going to get baptized, all my family's going to get saved and baptized, and I'm going to be a witness for Jesus Christ in the workplace. And the devil will say, okay, fine. But you don't need to give them any money. You don't need to give them any money. They've got enough money there. You need to say, no deal, devil. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to get all of my family saved and baptized. I'm going to be a witness, and I'm going to give a tithe and an offering. I don't have enough fingers. A tithe and an offering to the church to continue their work. Some of you need to go all the way. Some of you need to settle it today that you're going to go all the way to the promised land with Almighty God and that you're not going to stop along the wilderness. Some of you need to just make up your mind and make up your heart today as God has been leading you to get saved and to get baptized and to share it with others and to give of the things that He's given to you, to give that percentage back to Him. One of the greatest ways of doing that is the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. So many people's lives are changed. You saw the person that was speaking? Joe whispered to me, that's the guy that he's got on the missionary card that we passed out a couple weeks ago that he's been praying for. He recognized him. That's the guy. What a tremendous, tremendous ministry. Some of you just need to be sold out and go all the way for Jesus Christ. We're going to have a song of invitation today. And the invitation is just that. For you to go all the way with God. That you would listen to His still small voice and as He speaks to you today, that you would be obedient to Him as He speaks. Let's all stand.